أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أول شيء كل عام وأنتم بخير وعيدكم مبارك، واللي راح الحج حج مبرور وذنب مغفور إن شاء الله، الله يتقبل منكم كلكم. فإن شاء الله ما شاء الله في new faces today. It's nice to have the new people here. ممكن أنصح أن ترجعون على ال previous recording just to know what we're doing. إحنا قاعد نتكلم عن السيرة. We're doing سيرة of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we're going to continue today with where we left off. طبعا where we are in سيرة is the early days of revelation. أول أيام نزول الوحي. Where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم نزلت عليه آيات بدايات سورة العلق. فقلنا يعني it's also an opportunity to study سورة العلق in depth to understand more of the context of what was going on in Mecca while it was being revealed, and even it'll give us some idea of what's happened later on. فإحنا last time we covered the first five آيات if you remember, and today inshallah we'll continue with ayah number 6. What was covered previously in the first two sections, طبعاً اقرأ highlighted the importance of knowledge. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Allah سبحانه وتعالى helped teach us. Oh, it's sleeping all the time.
How do we make this normal?
To not sleep.
Yeah.
Settings and then display. General. No. Display. Auto lock never. Right? I don't. Okay. Hopefully it works. Then for the first section talks about the importance of knowledge. أهمية القراءة. The importance of reading. And here we talked about different kinds of knowledge. But أولهم شنو؟ القرآن الكريم. Now Allah سبحانه وتعالى sent down the Quran to be recited. صح؟ We talked about how حقوق القرآن, the rights of the Quran. And then we also get an idea about how Allah سبحانه وتعالى honored كل بني آدم. He honored us by creating us from علق. But yet وربك الأكرم highlighted how he honored us by our ability to think and our ability to have intellect and reason and reflection, and how we can, through knowledge, we can advance humanity forward. So that's something that Allah سبحانه وتعالى كرم بني آدم كلنا. علم بالقلم أيضا الذي علم بالقلم. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. For these first ayat highlight the importance of knowledge. Today we'll look at what are the consequences of the one who turns away from knowledge. And why is it so important to have knowledge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the example of the consequences of turning away. There's also going to be an example, inshallah, hopefully if we get there. That starts off with, sorry, we'll have to go through these. While I turn the slides, Rayana, you want to share your experience of Hajj with everyone? We'd all like to hear, inshallah. Just take a few minutes. Yeah.
Experience, yeah, I mean, moderates makes you feel the purpose of life, like just feeling the whole way through, and the source of life, like how we did this, and how we did this without the train and without the bus, and like the whole time, like how did you do this? And yeah, I'm sure we did it a million times less than how he did. And yeah, I felt like everybody there, I really liked how كم من خايف على روحه لأن يبون أن يتقبل حاجتهم. So everybody was so good. No one was like, everybody was scared to speak, and everybody was scared to sin, and everybody was just trying to win أجر. And like, I wish that life was like this. I feel like I hope I can continue the state that I was in, and looking forward to going again, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. It was really cool, how everything I felt was like planned. If there was, we were late for something, it was because of something better that was coming like a few minutes later. And like the bus stopped, or if like we struggled here, it's because, and you can just see his magic, and I'm sure everybody there saw his magic. Like he spoke to everybody there, and I can't wait for them. That's like, that's how I feel. I feel peaceful in that.
Amazing, amazing. Allah yitqabbal, inshallah. All right, that gave me enough time to scroll down to the right slide. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى. كلا ترى is a repetitive way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of bringing our attention to a very important thing that for Allah is. And it's kind of like scolding also. It's a means of like yelling at someone. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being upset at this concept. فَكَلَّا, whenever it comes in the Qur'an, take it seriously. Can anyone give me examples of other places where كَلَّا comes? Like, yes, with Maryam and many other places it comes. Whenever it's very offensive, whatever is being done is offensive, it's something that's in clear disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَكَلَّا is a type of scolding, and then Allah gives the reason why he said كَلَّا. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. This same insan who I honored earlier, اِقْرَأْ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ, the same insan is now transgressing. لَيَطْغَى. They say طُغْيَان usually like تعرفون when you're putting water in a glass and it slowly starts filling up, and then eventually what are we supposed to do once it reaches the top?
Stop.
That's the logical thing to do. But الطاغية is the one who keeps pouring, knowing that pouring more and more and more will spill the water outside the glass, and the glass is meant to contain the water. Spilling the water out of the glass is going to create a mess. But that's the easiest way to understand the concept of طغيان أو الطاغية. Okay? Allah here is saying something very serious about al-insan. كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى. ليش اختار الإنسان? Why did he choose إنسان? Remember how many times إنسان came up previously? اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. So the same إنسان who has the potential to learn and to educate himself and to improve society and gain knowledge, the same إنسان also has the ability to transgress. And that's the beauty of free will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Teen, he says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. فَأَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ is when we use the intellect that Allah has given us to read and to make this world a better place and to better ourselves. But the same insan has the potential to also do crazy things, to do things that are against the fitrah, to cause bloodshed and corruption on earth, and to use that intellect to حق الفساد يعني. You know, and don't we see that today, very real in our lives today? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So also, يعني, connecting this with the previous ayat, كأن the one who transgresses is the one who doesn't read. يعني أول آية نزلت اقرأ, فالإنسان اللي ما يقرأ بالذات قراءة القرآن, قراءة ال we talked about different types of reading, reading between the lines, reading from history, reading hatta books, knowledge, whether it's worldly or akhira related, but more akhira related, more life related, because worldly knowledge, like we discussed last time, are we all already doing it for the most part in developed countries and developing countries? It's the education system is doing pretty okay. In less developed countries, it's still a problem. صح, ignorance and education is still a problem. But for us, specifically in our context, what we can relate to is akhira-related knowledge. Knowledge relates to the Qur'an. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing the seerah. صح ولا لا? Is to learn and educate ourselves about the life of the Prophet ﷺ and how it connects to our life. فالطاغية or طغيان is when you know the rules but you transgress against them. You don't like authority, you don't like to do what is told. And we said, يعني in Surah, I believe Nuh, when the flood came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا لَمَّا طَغَى الْمَاءَ حَمَلْنَاكُمْ فِي الْجَارِيَةِ. When the water flooded, حَمَلْنَاكُمْ فِي الْجَارِيَةِ, we carried you for سَفِينَةْ نُوح. He talks about حتى literally the flood that covered the entire earth. إِنَّا لَمَّا طَغَى الْمَاءَ, when the water exceeded its boundaries. Okay. Sorry. I thought this was airplane mode. It's not so. Allah is merciful and honors the human being out of His mercy, out of His rahmah, but yet, الإنسان rebels. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. وتذكرون, يعني, previously, in the beginning, Allah told us that our number one relationship with Him is a relationship of abd and rab. صح? He is the rab and we are the abd. اقرأ بسمي ربك الذي خلق. For here, what we're learning is the one who doesn't accept the role of the abd is in fact the one who is rebelling. Then one of the meanings of rububiyya is authority. صح? The master has authority over us. And this book, the Quran, is also a kind of like an authority. It comes from a higher authority. Diamond, when Allah talks about the Quran being revealed, he constantly uses the term anzala. لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتٍ. صح? So everything comes from up above, which means it is of an authority over our intellect. And we discussed this last time, and a lot of people, they approach the Quran with their intellect being above the Quran. What does that do?
Ego,
arrogance, and all of that, exactly. The true abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with Allah's rules. He's happy with the sharia. He submits, yastaslim, literally from Islam. Whether it makes sense or not, that's secondary. يعني حتى الصحابة, their attitude with the Prophet ﷺ was always سمعنا وأطعنا. Does this mean you can't question and ask? Of course you can. Well, Sahaba used to ask also. But some things of Sharia you will never know the secrets behind it. Why do we do tawaf 7 times around the Kaaba? If someone uses his intellect and says, no, wallah, it's 2023, let's shorten the tawaf, let's make it one, wide zahma, wadi, khan khafif ala nas. Maybe. Does it make reasonable? Is it reasonable to think like that? Yes. But can I put reason above shar'? No, so see, that's the issue. Yes.
So here, this was something that I found Yanni and Patch, and they were changing a bit of what we should do in terms of timings. And I felt sad, Yanni, because I want to do it the exact same way, to feel it exactly the same. They say, Yanni, bad gala, when you have to follow your hamla.
Yes.
You can't go against your hamla if that's the hamla that you chose.
Yeah.
In your niya, you're doing it, but as action, just because they fee timings, or fee any zahma, or fee Allah, like they'd be like, oh, instead of going this time, we have to go this time, we have to leave this time.
Yeah, so that's a common concern with people who go to Hajj or Umrah, is that you want to do it the by the book, but then the Hamla sometimes accommodates to the bigger group, and they use a rukhas, or like they use the exceptions to the rules to make it easy for everyone, and that's fine. Yani, what we're talking about is al-asasiyat. Yani, tawaf sab'a, khalas, ma fiya kalam. Sa'i, 7 times, it's fixed, you know. But other things, there is fi sa'a fil mawdu. There is room for accommodation, and the fiqh, that's one of the genius. That's one of the geniuses of the ulama of fiqh, is that's what they do, is they study the rulings and then they come up with accommodation for people based on the situation and the circumstances. فبالعكس, it's في وسع في الموضوع, you know, and sometimes it is best to just go with the group. أهم شيء النية مثل ما قلت, you have the intention to do it by the book. Best, that doesn't mean that because you did it through an easier way with the hamla that you got less reward or that you did anything wrong. La blacks. كل حملة لها الإدارة وعندهم their ulama and scholars and all of that, and they just have their ways around things, you know. And usually, the more you pay, the easier it gets. And blacks, that's ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء. Think of it as a blessing that Allah gives you. And don't feel guilty about having missed certain rewards just because it was easy. Inshallah, fi sa'a al-mawdu', inshallah. And we talked about this also previously, and al-insan, tab' al-insan, ma yuhib authority. And why is that? Why is it that the insan, we don't want the police to be on the road, we don't want a traffic light or cameras for the traffic, we don't want CCTV cameras in our living rooms and in our private areas.
People feel entitled, are they, so they can get away with whatever they want to do.
Yes, so you can get away with without anyone seeing you. This is very important. And later on, the ayah will come, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Didn't he know that Allah sees? But this, remember this point here. And that insan mayhib al-authority, he wants to do whatever he wants. And authority means someone's above you, they're watching you, they're holding you accountable. Which means, for many people, you don't have freedom to do whatever you want. And the reality is, in that, yes, if you choose to be Abdullah, then yeah, you actually don't have freedom to do whatever you want. You do what Allah, you do what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't do what you want. Muslims don't do what they want. They do what Allah wants. They do what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's the choice a human being has to make. That's really the choice. You want to be Abdullah, it comes with this package of his authority, his way, the Quran and the Sunnah, the Sharia, the rules. And we also talked about the, like, yani, we don't like rules, but rules are necessary for humanity to function. صح? Without rules, what happens?
Chaos.
And just, it's just a mess, right? Like, yani, we need order. Human beings need order to function. And the one who rebels has no fear of consequences, no fear of accountability. That's where taqwa comes in. That's why taqwa is so important. They say in the on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spiritually, one of the first stations you have to pass, after tawbah, of course. Now you make tawbah, you make repentance, you seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your past. The next most important station is taqwa, is choosing to live a life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being cautious of your actions and choices and thinking before you act. And asking yourself the question, does this please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? But that's what's here. And at-taghi is the one who forgets the master, forgets that Allah's authority. In fact, he chooses to rebel. He chooses to have no fear of consequences. And then, what's the connection between this ayah and the previous section? Kana Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us is one of the primary reasons for the rebellion of a human being, al-tughyan, is ignorance. Is not knowing, is not having that iqra and most importantly, ignorance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ignorance of the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ignorance of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His creation, ignorance of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ignorance of the beauty of the Qur'an and the ayat. Do you guys see this? Yeah? Then most people, the reason for the rebellion is they have the wrong concepts about Allah maybe, or about religion in general. Either misinformation or missing information. We talked about this, right? Two things. Remember, misinformation about the deen and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet ﷺ and the Sharia, or missing information. So that's the root disease. The disease is ignorance and it leads to rebellion and tughyan. And how do you cure the disease? With knowledge, with iqra. And the most superior form of knowledge is ma'rifatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing who Allah is. And the keys to knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Asma'ullah al-Husna. And the best methodology and practice to deepen your knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dhikr, like we said. But not just dhikr bil lisan, no. You combine dhikr bil lisan with thinking of the meaning with your mind and engaging your emotions through your heart. This, yani, three-dimensional approach. Okay, what's the three-dimensional approach? What are the three steps? Dhikr bil lisan, thinking of the meaning, and feeling with your heart. When you do dhikr in this way, then Allah will open your hearts to knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly in your heart. In a beautiful part of an ayah in the Quran, Allah says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. I love this ayah. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Notice, what is Allah saying in the ayah? Who is going to teach you? Allah directly. Can you imagine this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching you directly. No filters. Direct knowledge. Pure knowledge. But what's the prerequisite? Fattaqullah. For the moment we accept taqwa and slavery and servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will teach you directly, inshallah. So the most rebellious today are the ones who don't read, those who don't understand, those who have no knowledge. So kalla innal insana layatgha. And now Allah is going to explain further. What's this tughyan? Let's go deeper. An ra'ahu istaghna. Because he sees himself self-sufficient. He sees that he is self-sufficient. An ra'ahu istaghna. Okay? He sees himself, ra'ahu istaghna. And notice, Allah is talking about, yani, this is very important for you to understand when you read Quran, think of in which person is Allah talking? كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى أن رآه استغنى. Is it first person, second person, or third person? من يتذكر من English the difference between first person, second person, and third person? Yeah. First person is when I talk about myself, صح? I went to the park. Second person is when I speak to you. Right? Do you want to have a glass of water? Right? That's second person. Third person is when you talk about a person that's not in the room. Who's the most distanced from you? Third. High section is all third person. Allah's talking about this person who طغى. كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى. They're out of this room. Allah's not even talking to them directly. He's talking about them in third person, which means what? He's disappointed. But this also affirms the kalla. Allah doesn't want to talk to you directly. He's talking about you. أن رآه استغنى. Again, third person. This person sees himself استغنى. Self-sufficient. So let's talk about this concept. Why does he rebel? He rebels because he thinks he is free of need. And let's look at the word istaghna. It comes from the root word, you know? Ghani. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah wallahu huwal ghaniyyul hamid. Hay al qa'ida al dhahabiyya. We are fuqara, Allah is al ghani. But what does this mean? In a faqir, when we think of faqir, we think of someone who is on the streets, begging, homeless, صح? But the faqir in its deeper meaning means someone who's needy, بالضبط. Needy. And it's slightly different than miskeen, by the way. Miskeen is someone who's unable to move, they're stuck. And في اللغة, سكنة means to basically be still, صح? Yeah? من السكون. It's a beautiful thing, but when it comes to life and earning a livelihood, if you're stuck, if you're ساكن, are you making money? Are you able to move? Are you able to provide? No, you're stuck. فالمساكين are people who are literally unable to move. They need help because they can't move. They're stuck. And that's why سكين is something that when you use it, فالذبح يسكن, الذبيحة تسكن, صح? It becomes still. والمسكن is a place for سكون. فسبحان الله how the Arabic language is so beautiful. Yeah. بس فقير is the one who is needy. وإحنا يعني we're programmed to think of فقر as something negative. صح ولا لا? Yes? It's actually an honor for us. It's actually an honor for us to be فقراء إلى الله. Yes, you don't be fuqara to don't be faqir to society. Don't be needy of society, but we all need to acknowledge that we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْقَاعَدَ الذَّهَبِيَّةِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every breath. For every heartbeat, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be able to see, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be able to understand, to be able to walk, drink, eat, every single thing that we do, we cannot do لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. We cannot do without Allah's help. But we are needy every moment of our breath, every moment of our life. And that's why the summary of the Quran is إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. So this is where استعانة comes from. It's this فقر. الافتقار إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. And then to understand this on a deeper level, Allah is الغني, which means what? He is free of need. He's the only one who is free of need. The only one who is free of need. لأنه he's the source of everything. Everything else that he created is dependent on him. Is faqir إلى الله. But this person who is a طاغية thinks, again, it's a delusion, right? They think, this person thinks that he is free of need. أن رآه استغنى. He sees himself that he's free of need. And they say, especially sometimes, like when someone is blessed with wealth, it can be a blessing, and it can be also what? A major test, yeah, because sometimes the more wealth you have, the more you feel that you are free of need. The more you need to do a self-check all the time, more than the faqir that's on the streets, because you can sometimes be deluded, your nafs can deceive you to think that you're free of need. The idea of entitlement and all of that. So istaghna from what? Faqr ila, for what? Primarily that he doesn't need guidance. Then the Prophet ﷺ, think about Sira, right? And the context of the Prophet's mission was to guide his people, صح? And humanity at large. But al-Taghi is the one who says, you know what, this message of yours, keep it to yourself. In fact, don't even speak about it. يعني. And we'll talk about Abu Jahl and how he resisted this message. But primarily they think that they don't need this message. They don't need Allah's guidance. They can figure things out on their own. They don't need this ancient book from 1400 years ago to tell them how to lead a life. They can figure out things for themselves in a better way. And humanity can figure things out by itself. That's a form of istighna. That's dangerous. Because when you say, I don't need revelation, I don't need Allah's guidance, I don't need Allah's laws, I can come up with new laws that fit our times, that's where we have problems today. Do we see this happening in the world today?
Yes.
People think that Allah's laws are outdated. They're not relevant anymore. But one more thing about faqr ilallah is that Allah is al-ghani. But when you become abdul ghani, when you acknowledge that you are faqir ilallah, Allah will make you independent of others, which is very empowering. When you become dependent on others, is that empowering or weakening? It's a weakness, صح? For the concept Allah wants us to understand is as a master-slave relationship, the moment we enslave ourselves to the Rabb, to Al-Ghani, then Allah provides us and we seek everything from Allah, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Therefore, we become free of need of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is actually the ultimate freedom and it's the ultimate power. Gives you power and it gives you freedom. Then khalas, you're free of need of others. You don't need anybody else. Khalas. One of his names is Al-Kafi. The one who is enough for you. But you literally start feeling and believing that Allah is enough for you. حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. حَسْبُنَا means, you know, Allah is enough. And there's like in modern spirituality teachings, they come up with this idea of I am enough. سمعتوا هذه? It's actually a very dangerous statement to say. يعني. Then I am nothing alone. They usually teach this to empower people, but it's a deception because you are not enough alone. You'll never be enough alone. But if we finish the sentence, we say, I am enough with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes a complete sentence. But we are enough with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will never be enough. In fact, we are nothing. Do you see this? For this Taghiya, he thinks that he is free of need, he doesn't need guidance. And like we said, he بالنسبة له متكبر على الموضوع لأن الذي يستغني عن الله كأنه he's saying, Allah, I don't need you, I can figure things out on my own. ففيها نوع من الكبر. Thinking that you are better than others, thinking that you don't need guidance. And this was very common, Tara, when it came to prophets teaching their people. بالذات الملأ. Have you heard the term ملأ في القرآن؟ وقال الملأ. الملأ it always refers to like the high society of any community, like the upper class. الملأ, those who are close to the king and the leadership, the elite class. When an average person like Nuh alayhi salam would come and preach a message, what would they say? ايش فهمه يعني هاي اللي بيعلمنا احنا ناس راقين ونفهم ويعني دارسين ورايحين جامعات and we've studied high Harvard or Ivy League. This guy is going to teach us how to live life. We're going to follow him. احنا ننزل روحنا حق مستوى ذي الشخص. They used to call them أراذلنا, بادي الرأي. أراذلنا is like يعني the scum of like society basically. And they used to call them, Allah calls them بادي الرأي. Those who are, تعرفون البدو, بادي الرأي من البادية. What's your impression of البدو? But from a knowledge perspective, backwards, right? Back, exactly. But that's the exactly the accusation or the justification for them to reject the message was, we don't follow these people. هم أرادلنا بادي الرأي. We don't need their message. إحنا رايحين Stanford, Yale, Columbia. We don't need all of this. We're educated. Okay. But that's another root cause of rebellion. الطغيان is. We looked at two causes of rebellion, طغيان. One was, yalla, many يقدر يقول لي, شنو? Two causes of rebellion, طغيان. Number one was? Ignorance. And the second one is?
Arrogance.
And they rhyme, ignorance, arrogance. Okay? Remember this. Ignorance, arrogance. وقالوا, يعني مفسرون also, when it comes to Surah Al-Fatiha, and this way you'll remember it every time, you pray, inshallah, and you will remember me, inshallah. Don't remember me, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? But every time you read, غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ refers to who? The ignorant or the arrogant? Exactly. And ضَالِّينَ. Ignorant. For Allah captures both groups in Surah Al-Fatiha. Isn't that amazing? And then who is الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ? Those who have ignorance, you know. Education and huda, right? Knowledge and guidance. And what's the opposite of arrogance? Humility, exactly. فَالَّذِينَ نَعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ There are two main qualities is humility and knowledge. It's amazing how this is captured in Surah Al-Fatiha, yes? And one of the other reasons why al-insan يعني يستغني عن الله when they think that they're self-sufficient and they don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they do this rebellion is because they don't see the consequences of their actions on the spot. ففي فرق بين physical laws and moral laws. And the Quran is more of a moral guide, صح, for us, how to lead a moral life. We all know that if there is a fire in front of you and you try to touch it, what's going to happen? What are the consequences of touching the fire? It's going to burn your finger or your hand, right? But that's, can anyone disagree on this? But that's why no sane human being will do that. No sane human being will put their finger or their hand in a fire, because they know the consequences. That's what's referred to as physical laws. But because you have fear of consequences of the physical fire, you will not dare touch yourself because you know it's going to harm you. It's going to harm you. Okay, and nobody wants to harm themselves. Everyone loves themselves. But when it comes to moral laws, like one example is lying or backbiting or accusing someone of something they haven't done, spreading a false rumor. Would karma be considered? الكارما هاي موضوع خطير يبي له محاضرة بروحها يعني. بس we'll talk about it إن شاء الله. Moral laws, because okay, when I lie, when I choose to lie, do I feel the consequences instantly? ولا
not necessarily. Yeah.
It will come back. وهاي بنتكلم عن كارما وكارما. We'll talk about it. But yeah.
And then maybe if you don't, then backfire.
Exactly. Backbiting, do we see the consequences immediately?
Yeah,
of course.
Not bad, not
usually it comes
when it comes to more. How would you feel the consequences immediately?
You don't.
Hey, that's, يعني, عن the common understanding of الغيبة and moral laws. You feel the pain of that sin, يعني. You feel the pain. مثل ما you touch the fire, you feel immediately it burns you.
Yeah.
Because moral laws, when you commit a moral crime, there are no instant consequences that you feel. The human being forgets the consequences. And in fact, sometimes the human being starts thinking إن ترى ما في consequences. فيصير شيء عادي. That's why غيبة becomes عادي. Lying is عادي. Accusing someone chaste of doing something wrong, عادي صار. You see something filthy with your eyes on Netflix, you think it's عادي, it doesn't have any impact on your heart. I don't see any stains on my shirt or anything. فعادي. You listen to whatever you want that's toxic, you don't see the consequences. All these moral laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought to us in the Quran, the one who does طغيان, the one who thinks that استغنوا عن هذه القوانين, they, one of the reasons they don't feel the need to abide by these laws is because they don't feel the consequences. ترى عادي أنا صار لي 20 سنة قاعد أسوي غيبة وأطالع shameless things online, ما صار شيء, الحمد لله أمور طيبة, يعني nothing is, life is good. فthey measure their choices based on physical consequences. JazakAllah khair. Shukran. Do you see this point? For moral laws have an impact, but it's not instant. Yakhad waqt, and it's usually spiritual in nature. It affects your heart. When you see something filthy, it blackens your heart. There's a disease. There's a khatm. There's qishawa ala al-qalb. When you hear something filthy, there's waqar in your adhan that's being built up gradually. You don't see it, you don't feel it. And you become numb to it. You become desensitized to it, and it becomes your new norm then. That's the danger of moral laws and spiritual laws, is that they're unseen, and therefore the one who has no knowledge, اللي ما يقرأ, the one who's not switched on, the one who's not aware, the one who doesn't have taqwa, the one who doesn't study. That's why we say, يعني, in our deen, there's three areas of knowledge that you have to have basic knowledge of. Islam, which is your ibadat. Iman, which is al-aqidah, your understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the basic understanding, and Allah is one, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, Allah is samad, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, the basic understanding, so you don't fall into shirk. So we said Islam, Iman, and then Ihsan, the knowledge of the heart, the knowledge of spirituality. Diseases of the heart, arrogance, the consequences of sins. These moral laws are slow in destroying you. And most of society, shaitan has played a major scheme on beautifying this in a false way. To brainwash us, of course, and we have to do things against the norm. You will have to be weird. You will have to be strange. You will have to do things differently, which is not easy. فإنسان يحب يسوي what's popular, what's trending. But we just watch it just to fit in. We don't ask ourselves, well, if I watch this new series on Netflix, No, it has a lot of filthy stuff. I'll choose not to watch it. I want to protect my heart. But then you go into your majlis with your friends and they're all talking about the series and you have no clue what's going on. And you feel out of place and you feel like, I'm ignorant. Something to think about, especially in the entertainment world. Do we really have to be updated with all the latest series and all the latest episodes and movies and songs and... Well,
it's almost becoming, I mean, it's not supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. Because you feel left out when your friends talk about it at work or in the majlis and you have no clue what's going on. So you feel like they're knowledgeable about that series, but you're ignorant about the series. فصار الموضوع flip. Okay? So do you guys see this issue? Yeah? Moral laws. And the other day at home we were talking about, I don't know how the topic came up of the seven deadly sins. I have no idea how it came up. But there's a, yani it has a Christian basis, but it's very much in line with Islam. Okay? Sorry? Yeah, absolutely. It's they're fundamental. Who knows what the seven deadly sins are? حتى طلعوا فيلم عليه يعني seven. All Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Greed.
Gluttony,
which is what?
It's
overindulgence in anything. Yeah, anything. It could be food, it could be entertainment, it could be pride. So greed, gluttony, pride, lust, fahisha. Greed, gluttony, pride. I'll help you out. Envy, jealousy. Okay, hasad is wishing that others' ni'mah is taken away. Okay? And then, of course, there is sloth, which means what? Yeah, unproductive, you're a liability, you're lazy, you're exactly giving up on life and hopeless and all of that. خلصنا سبعة ولا خمسة؟ Greed. Gluttony, pride, lust, sloth, envy, and the last one?
Gluttony, did
you say?
No, let's take it, but alone.
Yalla, use your mind.
It should be an obvious thing. It's an obvious
Wrath. Lihwa, anger, yeah, and rage, right? Like, literally rage. What's happening in France now? Yeah. فكلها, notice all these seven. When you're jealous, do you feel the consequences of jealousy in your heart? No. So you keep doing it. When you get angry, do you feel the consequences of this wrath and this anger and this rage in your heart? You don't. So you continue doing it. Lust and fahisha and Netflix and YouTube and all this. أكيد بيظلم يصير بس it's gradual and subtle and you have no way.
I feel it instantly. حتى أنا حسيت الحين أن Diana is better than she got something I really want to حسيت why does she have it? I feel it instantly.
Instant.
إيه فthat's ما شاء الله يعني that's a gift from Allah سبحانه وتعالى for you. Because this is because hi, nafs al-lawama. Now your nafs has advanced to a stage where it's aware. It does something wrong. It sets the alarm, right? It's like this. Your compass is you're able to listen to your heart. You're able to immediately sense it. But that's an awakened heart.
That's
exactly. Exactly. For that's a higher than norm status now. Absolutely. But for the most part, most people are yani insensitive to this. فكلهم envy, pride, wrath, lust, greed, and gluttony, كلها it has no consequence if people do it without realizing the consequences. Yeah, because that's what people want. They want to listen to gossip. Or it's there's a sense of hot news, breaking news. Yeah, النفس الأمارة أكيد. Yes. فشفتوا ليش الإنسان starts thinking that they're self-sufficient, they don't need, because ما في consequences. And ما في accountability then. If there's no consequences, there's no accountability. I can do whatever I want. عادي, كيفي. Like in Pakistan, there was this trend, what was it, about like freedom. Again, there's a lot of cultural context to it, but in Urdu they say mera jism meri marzi, right? My body kafi. I'll display whatever I want of my body kafi, just me. You know, for this. Exactly. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And see, this is the beauty of the Quran. Everything is in sequence. كل آية is leading to the next, to the next, to the next. So now, Allah told us in كلا إن الإنسان لا يطغى. شلون يا الله أن رآه استغنى. Now the next next question in your mind is, okay, how can I fix this? How can I fix this idea of being طاغية and being someone who has استغناء. Allah tells you the solution in the next ayah. Inna ila rabbika rujaa. Indeed, to your Lord is the return. Now, who can notice the change of the person speaking? Yeah, you notice that? هاي في التفسير يسمونه الالتفات. Allah was talking about someone distanced, but now you want to come close? I'll talk to you directly. Inna ila rabbika ar-ruj'a. Indeed, to your Lord is the return.
As in repentance.
Repentance. And return in terms of Yom al-Qiyamah and Yom al-Hisab and accountability. Yes.
Every time I read that verse, it meant more of a threat. Mm. Like the destiny.
Yeah.
Ila rabbika ar-ruj'a.
Yes.
That's
yes.
How I understand.
So it's both. It's both. There is rahmah in it, and there is a warning, both. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rahman al-rahim, and He's also maliki yawm al-deen. That's the balance we have. فَإِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الرُّجْعَىٰ. It's as if Allah is telling now Abu Jahl, who's going to come up next, who was like one of the biggest enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi. Allah is giving him a chance. By him listening to these ayat, Allah is telling him, come back to me. You want to heal from this disease, this kibr, this ignorance, come back to me. But at the same time, fine, you don't want to come back to me, eventually you will come back to me by force. And كلنا بنرجع حق الله سبحانه وتعالى one day. Then where did we come from? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. in a deeper level, inna lillahi, we belong to Allah. Before we came into this world, we were in a different life. صح? You can call it عالم الأرواح or whatever, but it was you in your soul form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked all of the souls that Allah created, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ? Am I not your Rabb? What did we all say?
بَلَى
شَهِدْنَا. Indeed, Ya Allah, we bear witness that we are your, that you are our Rabb, which means what? What's between the lines, the statement? We are your ibad. We signed on this contract. So that happened, and we were in a very pure place.
Was that in
Arafah? No, it was in some other dimension. Arafah, they say it's going to be the land where al-qiyamah bitqoom wa an-nas tuhshar fi midan Arafat, they say. Again, how expansive that area will be, Allah ya'lam. It's going to include all of humanity from the beginning of time. Technically speaking, this whole region is close to each other. When you spread out human beings physically on that ground, monetary dimension shouldn't be cool. But again, fi ijtihad fil mawdu. فَإِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الرَّجْعَىٰ. We came from a beautiful place. And that's why one of the theories of like the babies crying fil bidayah when they come like into birth, like have you ever wondered why do babies just not come out laughing يعني, from the womb of the mother? ليش يصيحون يعني. فيقال أن actually they get attacked by shaitan. Yeah, they get pinched by shaitan, and that's why they cry. And they realize, you know, oh my God, I'm this dunya now. I was in such an amazing place, and I'm in dunya, and I'm going to be stuck in this body for the next 70, 80 years, and I'll be tested. Ya Allah, I want to go back. That's really what's going on in the baby's mindset. يعني. No, but the pinch of shaitan, this is mentioned in the hadith. And there's only one child who was freed from this pinch of shaitan. Who knows? Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Yes. Yes. Udhukar Isa alayhi salam, and of course it honors Maryam alayhi salam also being his mother. Yeah. So what I'm trying to get to, inna ila rabbika raja'. Pay attention to this. We came from a very, very pure place. صح? And is Allah pure or not? Of course he's pure, right? He's Al-Quddus, which means what? Qaddas, the source of all purity, Al-Quddus. فإذا احنا بنرجع حق الله سبحانه وتعالى, we have to also be in a state of what? Purity. Tazkiyah, okay? For Allah gave us opportunities. The first opportunity is in this lifetime. Allah يطول في أعماركم كلكم, بس you're going to live 70, 80, 100 years max. You have this time to purify yourself as much as possible so that you can ترجعون إلى الله purified. Okay? But the one who chooses to rebel, the one who chooses to say, أنا مستغني عنك يا رب, I don't need you, I don't need guidance, I'll do whatever I want. الشخص اللي ما اشتغل على تزكية الناس في الدنيا, what will they have to go through بعد الموت? في الدنيا we have optional تزكية. Optional tazkiyah. What happens after death? Mandatory tazkiyah. فعذاب القبر will be mandatory to purify you. If that's not enough, there's going to be the tazkiyah of the Day of Judgment. If that's not enough, there's going to be tazkiyah of the Hellfire. And then eventually you'll be purified and then you will return to your Lord. It is mentioned in an indirect way, and it's mentioned in the hadith also. Yes, but it is a reality. Even the Christian tradition, it's mentioned. Yeah. They call it purgatory. It is a reality, and it is very logical. Yeah, and if you think about it, you have Allah loves you. He created you to go back to Him. أعطاكم الدنيا to purify yourself, تزكية النفس, تزكية القلب, so that you can return to him very smoothly, and قبر for you will be جنة من جنات, يعني it will be a روضة من رياض الجنة, and قيامة will be a breeze, you'll be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's رحمة, and you will be treated with VIP service by the angels, and you're going to go through the Sirat al-Mustaqim in a very swift manner, and خلاص الجنة. That's the plan. يعني that's what we need to be focused on. إن يا الله أنا أزكي نفسي في هالدنيا. أمشي على الصراط المستقيم, تقوى, توبة, استغفار, عبادات, whatever. Stick to your rules and أفتقر إلى الله دائما, and then everything will be smooth. But if you choose الطغيان and you choose to say I don't need this, then you will be forced to be purified. And even in that forcing to be purified, is there rahmah or no?
Yes, because there's da'a. So if someone makes da'a for someone who's passed away and is going to be purified, then there's rahmah. Allah will istajib, right?
Of course, yes, absolutely.
So that, I feel that's also rahmah.
100%.
No.
Yes, yes. ذكرتيني على موضوع الكارما. Okay. We'll have to go back. And for a lot of people, there's a lot of misconception about karma. احنا بالنسبة لنا الرحمة of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far, 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 far more superior than karma. Karma is a very shallow understanding of consequences of our actions. Then it's tit for tat. You do something wrong, صيد شيء غلط. احنا بالنسبه لنا رحمه الله سبحانه وتعالى اوسع من الكارما. ف when we do wrong, there is a time frame for you to repent, there is a time frame for you to do استغفار, توبه. ان الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. You can cancel your negative karma by doing حسنات. You can حتونا الصوم يوم عرفه, delete everything in the past year, everything in the front year. We believe in this 100%. Is that fair or is it rahmah? If a karma is based on fairness, it's too. Yes, yes.
But every outcome of good and bad deed,
yes, correct. But the bigger understanding is rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وحتى عندنا بعد في يعني الحسنة بعشر, صح؟ You do something good, it counts as 10. You do something bad, 1. You think of doing something good and you don't do it, do you get أجر?
Yeah.
Yes, نية. Yeah. You think of doing something bad and you don't do it,
no, you don't get أجر.
Yeah, you resisted it, exactly. But that's, you see, it's not, يعني هاي مو بعدل, والحمد لله أنه مو بعدل, the system مو based on عدل. Then we'll all be, يعني, in deep trouble if Allah's system on earth was based on العدالة. Allah's system is based on رحمة. It's biased towards us being, تعرفوا تذكرون أيام المدرسة كانوا يسوون, what do they call it when like everyone messes up in the grade and then they, curving up, yeah. Deen is curved towards rahmah and jannah and maghfirah and tawbah. And so, yani whatever wrong you do, istighfar, biniyya, sadiqah, khalas, it's gone. It's deleted. You don't have to worry. And وسواس انه اوه بيجيني كارما ويصير حادث اوه هاي اكيد من الكارما مال امس. لا اتس فيري متعب على ال يس اكزاكتلي اكزاكتلي. فان الى ربك الرجعى. الله is telling and speaking in second person now. To yes.
So, but like if someone did wrong to you, would you, and I heard in the like before that your lack ends, you would see in that your justice being served effectively. Is that true?
Yeah, it is mentioned, yes. And at the same time, there is another hadith, which is a very scary hadith actually, of the one who will show up on the Day of Judgment with a lot of good deeds. يعني بيكون عنده صلاة, صيام, زكاة, حج, قرآن, صدقات. And this will be like a mountain, زين, of good deeds. And then on the other side of his scale will be ظلم الآخرين, backbiting, غيبة, you know, doing injustice to others, and he will see his mountain, because it's a debit credit system, right? It's accounting. Yani, the sins will cancel out on the hasanat, and the mountain will decrease until there will be not enough hasanat to pay off for the bad deeds, and sayulqa fi an-nar. That's what the hadith mentions. Why? مو عشان يتم في النار للأبد. لا. لأن he needs to get purified. لأن it didn't clear up. But some things will be cleared up في الدنيا. Something will be cleared up يوم القيامة. الله أعلم. بس for us to evaluate and try to figure things out, متعب ترى. لا تعبون روحكم. لأن it often happens, right? You have a يعني تصير مشكلة. مثلا دعمة سيارة. الله يبعد عنا الشر يعني. بس دعمت سيارة الوسواس بيجي oh this was because of I backbited yesterday in the office. أو أنا شفت series on Netflix and I'm sure it's because of that. Or متعب الموضوع you know. ف don't try to figure out Allah's يعني plan. Make دعاء استغفار توبة. If someone did wrong to you, forgive them. Not for يعني, for Allah's sake, forgive them. يعني, and at the same time, you have every right to ask Allah for your right on the Day of Judgment. وعلى فكرة يوم القيامة يعني إن إلى ربك الرجعة. It's يعني it's very soothing for المظلوم. اللي في الدنيا they went through a lot of difficulty and trials and ما حصلوا justice في الدنيا. قيامة is essential for their healing. Nothing can heal them in this world except for al-iman bil-akhirah. Then if they wait for their to receive justice in this world based on the karma concept, they will never get it. And they'll be disappointed their whole life. Or they might do wrong things to force to get their justice, you know? فَإِحْنَا بِنِسْبَ لَنَا يعني إن إلى ربك الرجعة. This concept of the Day of Judgment, this is an essential pillar of our deen. And in fact, يعني my teacher Allah rahma Dr. Israr Ahmed, a very respectable Quran scholar from Pakistan who passed away during the Corona days, I think, صح 2020ish. He used to summarize العقيدة المسلم in three pillars. احنا عادة يعلمونا ال six, صح؟ أركان الإسلام الستة, الإيمان بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خير وشر. But he simplified it. He said إيمان بالله, إيمان بالرسالة, والإيمان بالآخرة. لأن الرسالة includes الكتب, it includes the angels, it includes the prophets. You get it? فاختصر الموضوع. فالإيمان بالآخرة is a pillar. It's a pillar. لأن especially in the context of this surah, without الإيمان بالآخرة For a lot of people, there is no accountability. They'll do whatever they want. كيفي بسولي أبي بس اللي يخاف من ال consequences they will think before they act. They won't have this طغيان mentality. So إنا إلى ربك الرجعة. And sometimes يعني we need this. A lot of people think, oh لا هاي, it's a very scary ayah and it shows that Allah is trying to scare us. لا بس لحظة, don't we use this in our day to day? إذا الطالب ما يكون ملتزم في الصف ومشاغب and he's causing disruption in the class, what does the teacher say? Last warning, otherwise you're going to the principal's office. صح ولا لا? Do we need this in our systems or no? Every now and then. Of course you need it. If you're a parent, are you always going to use positive reinforcements with your kids? And yalla, do your homework, you'll get a cookie, get a good grade in the exam, you'll get, I don't know, new shoes or whatever. Fine, that's good. But if they don't listen to you, if they rebel, if they don't yani obey you, what are you going to do?
You have to be firm.
And for parents, for those of you who are not parents, and those of you who don't have kids, you will not understand this. Wait till you have kids, you will know. It's a necessity to have firmness sometimes. فيعني حتى الله سبحانه وتعالى صدق رحمن رحيم, but he needs to be firm with some people also.
لأن some kids إذا ما أدتهم
exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
No, but there's new research that says that positive reinforcement works better than negative reinforcement. Like, for you to get a child to do something you want him to do, you need to give him an incentive
صح.
To do it.
صح.
Okay, if he doesn't do it, maybe no negative reinforcement, but maybe what was the word? There was a term for it. And no, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, so again, I think we're on the same page. We're not saying positive enforcement doesn't work. Absolutely, it works, and it's yani, Allah uses it all the time in the Quran. What we're saying is, sometimes negative reinforcement, sometimes firmness is required, and Allah uses it in the Quran to address those who need it. Now, is negative reinforcement for everybody? No, it's for the problem makers, those who cause bloodshed, those who cause corruption, the Abu Jahls of the time, the Fir'auns of the time. And those who have exceeded the limits. At-Tughyan is for those who've exceeded. Okay?
Yeah. Even like with children, like when they first start walking, it will go away later on, and yeah, they stand and they fall again. And this is kind of life. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad person. You could be a good person, and hardship just makes you like a better version.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hardships help you grow. Yani, hardships is a different topic. What we're talking about here is yani, doing justice to the Quran, guys. Yani, لأن للأسف في اليوم this trend of trying to kind of esoterically understand the Quran, إن كله positive, 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 وما في عذاب, ما في تهديد, ما في ترهيب. For this is unfair to the Quran. Again, remember when we said putting your intellect above the Quran, it's dangerous. We have to do justice, and we have to look at this, and that's why seerah is so helpful in this, because you understand the criminality of these people when you study seerah, and you understand that sometimes Allah's language is so timely and so applicable to such people that it makes sense. It's needed. There are people who have done serious crimes in this world. There are people who are rebelling. Well, Allah is scolding them, is scaring them, not because He, astaghfirullah, is evil or He wants to misuse His power. لا, it's ترى فيها رحمة. يعني حتى when I punish my child by taking his PlayStation away, that's what I mean by negative reinforcement. But that's not, it's not because I don't like my child. I actually love him, and that withdrawal is beneficial for him. You know, grounding him for 2 weeks of no whatever weekends is good for him in the long run. But طبيعي إن يعني we use this all the time, and in schools with the problem childs, parents with their kids when there's issues, you have to balance it out. يعني. But the Quran is very balanced in that sense. Inshallah, Allah yarzikach ayal, come and tell us. Yeah, I would like to hear when your kids are teenagers and how will you deal with them?
No, but Allah, I was shocked too. It really does work.
Inshallah.
I mean, with autistic kids, they're problematic. They have behavioral issues.
Yeah.
Incentive and motive it goes a long way. Like giving someone incentive, us as human beings who have, who are, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe because I didn't go through all this.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. Inshallah. Yeah.
Inshallah.
Yeah. Inshallah. You can get a click in your. For there's, and again, من ناحية levels, right? We have to, Allah talks to different audiences. When we read the Quran, there's different audiences. On the one hand, Allah's telling the Abu Jahls of our time, Inna ila rabbika ruj'a, you have a chance, go back to Allah. He's also talking to Abu Jahl, Inna tara idha ma, if you don't get your act together, maraddak bitarja' ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's also talking to the ones who are obedient and those who are on the path to Allah. And he's telling them, Inna ila rabbika ruj'a, hang in there, you're coming back to me. Because you see the beauty of this ayah? It talks to different people in different ways and it encourages them in different ways. The motivation is not always fear of punishment and accountability. The higher level of a spiritual seeker is to do things, to be obedient to Allah out of love, out of seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you don't pray, and that, yani for every parent, that would be the ideal child, صح? اللي بابا يلا قوم صلي الفجر إن شاء الله. I love praying, يعني بابا بيروح يتجدد يتوضى ويصلي أن يخشع في الصلاة ويبكي في الصلاة. بس reality is that's not gonna be your average child. يعني we all want exactly. But we يعني to be honest, one of my teachers recently سألت السؤال, قلت له شنو how bad is it to skip Fajr? Okay? Then that day I had skipped Fajr. Okay. فأعطاني مثال. قال لي, and I will never forget this. He said, it's as if, you know how, I don't think any of us has done this, but imagine that you're walking in mud, in a very thick layer of mud. How difficult is it going to be walking? Very difficult, heavy, صح? But he said, that will be your day if you skip Fajr. You know? For now, he implanted in me, and this is what genius scholars do, right? They implant in you this motivation now. He didn't say, اللي ما يصلي الفجر ما عنده إيمان, وهاي يعني منافق, وهاي, you know? لأن المنافقين هم, you know, يراؤون الناس ولا شنو ولا يأتون الصلاة إلا وهم كسالى. For all of that, ما قال لي هالكلام, قال لي بس he put this seed in me. For now, for me, what's the motivation for waking up for Fajr? Exactly. And the fear of having a bad day wakes me up. You see, so it's both actually. I don't want to be in that muddy situation. It's to have a smooth day and to avoid a bad day. Exactly.
I have a question, so it's off the topic.
Yeah.
If you pray at the end of the
fourth
time, not inshallah, it's relax, there's a time frame. Relax. You know, and it's again shuruq time, you have to time it well, and sometimes you see the clock or sa'at al-fajr or whatever it shows in shuruq at this time. But you look outside, it's already daytime, you know. Maybe half an hour, 45 minutes before the actual official shuruq time would be safe when it's still dark outside. Yani. So you see, sometimes your motivation can be pleasure of Allah. It can be, Ya Allah, I don't want a muddy day today. And both are healthy. Of course, the higher level will be, Ya Allah, I'm waking up for Fajr because I love meeting you. And بعدين الناس اللي يقومون حق التهجد وهذه, that's an even higher level where, Ya Allah, I can't sleep at night because I love you so much and I want to spend time with you. You see the levels? فالله talks to all of them. ويعني, there's في سعة في الموضوع, but not everyone is at the same level. فلتس conclude inshallah. إنا إلى ربك الرجعة. So you become an obedient servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you don't want to disappoint your master. فهذه بعد النية, يعني إن يعني I'll be obedient to Allah because I don't want to disappoint him. Kind of like when you don't want to disappoint your parents. You are careful of your decisions because you don't want to disappoint and let them down. يعني. فالله سبحانه وتعالى الرب that has blessed you with all these blessings. كأنه you're saying, يا الله, you gave me all these blessings. I can't let you down. I'll do this for your sake, يا الله. But that becomes your motivation. And then the classic example is the report card, right? Yani your son can mess up his whole semester, or my so homework, and he plays games. And then, but eventually, inna ila rabbika ar-ruj'a, in that context would be fine. The report card is going to come out on 5th of July. ونشوف. There's no hiding then. Everything, كل شيء بيكون جاهز, literally, يعني, and that's الكتاب. أما من أوتي كتابه بيميني فسوف شنو؟ ها سوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا. وأما من أوتي كتابه بشماله فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا. فإن إلى ربك الرجعة is also كأن الله saying ترى كل شيء قاعد تسوي قاعد ينكتب. في angels on your right, on your left, writing everything down, it's being recorded, whether you are aware of it or not, that Allah is watching. ترى he's watching, he is الرقيب. One of the meanings of الرقيب is the one who watches you all the time. فهاي الاسم بروحه كفاية for someone to يعني quit their bad habits and their sins and their bad addictions. Allah is watching. The angels are writing everything down. It's all on the it's all on record, and it's and one day you're going to show up with your report card. كيفك تبي تستغني تبي تطغي, go ahead and do it. إنا إلى ربك الرجعة. Inshallah, with this we conclude this section of the surah. For what we talked about was today, just to wrap things up. قلنا أن الإنسان عقب ما الله سبحانه وتعالى كرمه with the ability to read and the ability to understand, although he was علق, he was nothing, and Allah gave him such a beautiful gift of the mind and intellect to learn and to become humble. He chooses to rebel. He chooses to يتكبر ويطغى ويستغني عن الله. He forgets his place. And he thinks he's superior than Allah. The healing for that is to know that you are going back to Allah, that there is يوم القيامة, that there is accountability, and that there is consequences for your actions. And if we all just know the consequences of our actions, we will all fix all our problems. But the problem is, a lot of people don't know that what the consequences are, or they have misinformation about the consequences. For the cure is iqra, the cure is to study, the cure is to learn, the cure is to let Allah teach you, and to learn from the Quran and the Sunnah and the life of the Prophet. So with that, we conclude. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.